This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to stop absorbing toxic traits from people you spend too much time with. Protect your values before proximity quietly rewrites them. In short, you can stop absorbing toxic traits from difficult people by recognizing what has already changed in you, naming the specific patterns, and replacing them through deliberate practice. Identify the exact toxic traits you've picked up, not just a vague feeling that something is off. Create psychological distance between exposure and your response before patterns solidify. Rebuild your own standards actively, because awareness alone does not reverse what proximity has written. Definition: absorbing toxic traits is the gradual, often unconscious process by which a person adopts the negative behaviors, communication patterns, and attitudes of people they spend significant time with. It happens through social mirroring and repeated exposure, and it changes how you think, speak, and treat others. I watched a good man lose himself over 2 years. He was warm, direct, and fair when I first knew him. Then he took a role under a manager who blamed publicly, dismissed ideas in meetings, and treated trust as weakness. By the time he left that job, he was doing all three himself. He did not notice. His wife did. His friends did. He thought he had simply toughened up. That is the particular cruelty of absorbing toxic traits. It does not feel like corruption. It feels like adaptation. You tell yourself you are learning how things really work, growing a thicker skin, being more realistic. And somewhere in that story, you stop noticing that you are becoming someone you would not have liked 5 years ago. This article gives you a practical process for catching that drift and reversing it. Not through inspiration, but through method. Why this kind of change is so hard to see in yourself. The problem with behavioural absorption is that it is gradual. No single day feels like a turning point. You do not wake up one morning and decide to become more cynical or more dismissive. It accumulates in micro doses. Toxic traits spread through proximity because human beings are wired to mirror the people around them. This is not a flaw. In healthy environments, that mirroring builds cohesion and trust. In environments shaped by difficult people, it imports their patterns into you. You start speaking the way they speak. You start tolerating what they tolerate. You start responding the way they respond. Then one day, someone you respect looks at you differently, and you do not know why. The second difficulty is social reinforcement. When you are embedded in a group where a toxic trait is normal, the people around you will not flag it. They may even reward it. If you work alongside people who bond over complaints, sarcasm, and blame, then the moment you stop doing those things, you become the outlier. The pressure to conform is real, and it is quiet. This is worth naming clearly before we go further. None of this makes you weak or naive. It makes you human. What you need before you start the process. Before any of these steps will work, you need one thing: honest distance. Not physical separation necessarily, but the capacity to look at your own recent behavior without defending it. Most people skip this. They run through a self-assessment while simultaneously explaining why each example does not really count. That is not self-awareness. That is self-protection dressed up as reflection. You also need a reference point. Think about who you were 2 or 3 years ago, or choose a person whose character you genuinely respect, someone grounded and fair. Hold that standard in mind throughout this process. Not as a rod to beat yourself with, but as a compass. If you are working in a team where passive-aggressive patterns have become normal, you may find it useful to read about how passive-aggressive behavior silently erodes the conditions people work in. Understanding the environment is part of understanding yourself within it. The six-step process for stopping the absorption. Step 1. Name the specific traits, not just the feeling. Start with a list. Not "I have been difficult lately," but specific, observable behaviors. Write them down. I interrupted 3 people in the last 2 meetings. I told a colleague their idea would not work before hearing it out. I complained about the same person to 4 different people this week. Vagueness protects the pattern. Specificity dismantles it. Your list does not need to be long. 3 to 5 behaviors is enough to begin. Step 2. Trace each behavior back to its source. For each item on your list, ask: where did I first see this? Who modeled it? When did I start doing it myself? This is not about blame. It is about clarity. When you can say, "I picked up this habit of dismissing ideas from 18 months of working next to Marcus," you separate the behavior from your identity. It is something you absorbed. It is not something you are. This distinction matters more than it sounds. Identity-level beliefs I am just a negative person now are almost impossible to shift. Behavioural patterns I absorbed this habit, and I can unlearn it are workable. Step 3. Interrupt the pattern in real time. Once you know which specific behaviours to watch for, you can catch them before they land. This takes practice, but it starts with a single commitment: introduce a pause before you respond in the situations where the toxic trait tends to appear. If you have absorbed a habit of blame shifting, pause before you explain a mistake. If you have absorbed a habit of public dismissiveness, pause before you respond to an idea in a meeting. The pause does not need to be long. 2 or 3 seconds is enough to choose a different response. A useful internal prompt is this how I want to respond? Or is this what I have been trained to do? For teams where blame and dismissiveness have damaged the culture, using I statements in team conversations is one of the most practical tools for breaking that specific pattern. Step 4. Replace the behavior with a deliberate alternative. Awareness without replacement does not hold. If you simply stop doing the toxic behavior without substituting something else, the gap fills itself with the old pattern under pressure. For each behavior on your list, write one specific replacement. Not a principle, an action. For example, instead of dismissing ideas in the room, I will ask one genuine question before I evaluate. Or, instead of opening with what is wrong, I will state one thing that is working first. Practice the replacement in lower stakes moments before you need it under pressure. This is how new behavior becomes default. You rehearse it until it is easier than the old pattern. Step 5. Manage your exposure without burning the relationship. You may not be able to remove the difficult person from your life. That is fine. But you can manage your exposure with more intention. This means reducing unstructured time with them, where the toxic patterns are most likely to surface. For example, informal conversations that drift into complaint or gossip. It means entering interactions with a clear purpose so you're less susceptible to being pulled into their framing. If you must spend significant time with someone who undermines others, consider what scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group cohesion look like in practice. Having a prepared response changes the dynamic. Step 6. Invest deliberately in counter environment. The people you are not spending time with matter as much as the people you are. If your primary environment rewards negativity, cynicism, and blame, you need deliberate contact with environments that reward the opposite. This does not require finding a new tribe from scratch. It means being intentional about who you spend unstructured time with. One conversation a week with someone who is direct, fair, and genuinely curious does more for your character than a month of self-help reading. Psychological safety, the condition that allows people to speak honestly without fear of punishment, is the single most powerful counter-environment to toxic group norms. If you want to understand what that looks like in a team setting, what psychological safety is, and how it changes communication, is worth your time. Adapting this process for remote work settings. Remote work creates a specific version of this problem that deserves its own treatment. When your primary contact with a difficult person is through written messages, the toxic traits that spread most easily are the written ones: passive-aggressive phrasing, curt dismissals, and the habit of copying people into messages as a subtle form of pressure or blame. These are harder to catch because they do not feel as visceral as in-person confrontation. A slightly cold response in a chat message reads as nothing in isolation. Over weeks, you start writing the same way yourself. The process above still applies, but step one looks different. In remote settings, go back through your recent written communication and read it as if someone else sent it to you. Would you find it fair, clear, respectful? Apply the same honest eye you would to your spoken behavior. For remote teams where communication patterns have drifted, the common communication mistakes that quietly destroy team cohesion are often found in writing long before they surface in conversation. Step 4 is also more deliberate in remote environments. You cannot rely on body language or tone of voice to soften a replacement behavior. Write the alternative out fully. Read it before you send it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The 3 mistakes people make when trying to break these patterns. The mistake: focusing on the other person instead of yourself. Why it happens. It feels more manageable to analyze them than to examine your own recent behavior. What to do instead? Your process starts and ends with your own conduct. Understanding the source is useful. Dwelling on it is avoidance. The mistake, trying to change everything at once. Why it happens. Once you see the full picture of what has shifted in you, the instinct is to fix all of it immediately. What to do instead? Choose one behavior from your list. Work on that for 2 weeks. Specificity beats ambition here. The mistake, expecting insight to do the work that practice must do. Why it happens. The moment of recognition feels significant, and it is. But recognition without repeated replacement leaves the pattern intact. What to do instead? Build the replacement behavior into specific, recurring situations. Name the context where you will practice it. In Monday's team check-in, I will ask one genuine question before I evaluate. Understanding empathy as an active practice, rather than a passive quality, helps here. The way empathy functions as a bridge in difficult conversations is a practical skill you can develop deliberately, and it directly counters the dismissiveness and cynicism that tend to spread to difficult environments. Your weekly self-audit, a practical tool. Use this at the end of each week. It takes 5 minutes. It keeps the process from slipping. Number one, name one moment this week where you responded in a way that did not reflect the person you want to be. Be specific. One behavior, one situation. Number two, identify the source. Is this a pattern you recognize in someone you spend significant time with? Write the name if it helps. Number three, rate your exposure this week. How much unstructured, low-purpose time did you spend with people whose patterns you're trying not to absorb? More than you intended, about right, or less than usual. Number four, name one replacement behavior you use successfully. Even one. If you cannot find one, that tells you where to focus next week. Number five, identify your counter-environment contact. Who did you spend time with this week who models the standards you want to hold? If the answer is no one, that is your most important action for the coming week. Number six, state one specific commitment for the week ahead, not a value, an action. In Thursday's project meeting, I will not interrupt Jen before he finishes his point. For teams working to rebuild trust and honest communication after a period where toxic patterns took hold, how psychological safety enables honest communication over time gives a useful framework for what healthy group norms look like when you're rebuilding from a low baseline. The ground you are standing on belongs to you. Here is the truth of it: absorbing toxic traits from difficult people is not a moral failure. It is what happens to anyone who spends enough time in a damaging environment without a deliberate process for self-protection. The failure is not in drifting. It is not noticing and then not acting. The steps in this article are not complicated. They require honesty, specific attention, and consistent practice, which is more than most people bring to the problem. That is why most people stay stuck. You now have a process for stopping absorbing toxic traits before they rewrite who you are. Name what has changed. Trace it to its source. Interrupt the pattern, replace it with something better, manage your exposure, and invest in the environments that reinforce the person you actually want to be. The ground you stand on is yours. Keep it. Frequently asked questions. What does absorbing toxic traits from people mean? Absorbing toxic traits means gradually adopting the negative behaviors, attitudes, and communication patterns of people you spend significant time with. It happens through repeated exposure and social mirroring, often without any conscious awareness that your own standards and values are shifting. How do you know if you have absorbed toxic traits from someone? You notice you are more cynical, dismissive, or short-tempered than you used to be. You catch yourself using phrases or behaviors you once found off-putting. Friends or colleagues who knew you before this relationship may comment that you seem different or harder to reach. Can spending too much time with toxic people change your personality? Yes, extended proximity to people with damaging behavioral patterns causes measurable change in how you communicate, what you tolerate, and how you treat others. This is not weakness. It is a well-documented feature of social influence that affects almost everyone without deliberate self-protection. How do I stop absorbing toxic traits without cutting people off? You create deliberate distance between exposure and response. You identify which specific behaviors have crept into your own habits, name them clearly, and replace them with conscious alternatives. Reducing contact helps, but full separation is really necessary if you build consistent personal standards and enforce them. How long does it take to reverse absorbed toxic traits? It depends on how long the exposure lasted and how deeply the pattern's embedded. Most people see meaningful change within 4 to 8 weeks of consistent practice. Some ingrained habits, particularly cynicism or defensive communication, take several months of deliberate effort to fully displace. What are the most common toxic traits people absorb from colleagues? The most common are chronic negativity, passive-aggressive communication, blame-shifting, dismissiveness toward others, and a habit of undermining rather than supporting colleagues. These spread quickly in workplace settings because they are often rewarded socially by the group that already practices them. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.